The gospel reading this morning is from Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. It's about do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. If not life more than food and a body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, and all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will you eat? Or what will you drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
I came across an interesting and funny article that is related to my stewardship sermon this morning. It says, quote, O God, the bumper sticker says, smile if you love Jesus. So I smiled all day long, and the people thought I worked for Jimmy Carter. The bumper sticker said, honk if you love Jesus. So I honked, and a policeman arrested me for disturbing the peace in a hospital zone. The bumper sticker said, wave if you love Jesus. So I waved with both hands, but lost control of the car and crashed into the back of a church bus. Oh God, if I cannot smile or honk or wave, how will Jesus know I love him? If you love Jesus, tithe. Honking is too easy. Unquote. Probably some of you would be feeling uncomfortable if your pastor talks about tithe, stewardship, or any money-related topics. Then listen to this story. When you go to a doctor for your annual checkup, he or she will often begin to poke and press various places, right, on your body. And your doctor would ask you, does this hurt? How about this? If you cried out in pain, one of the two things has happened. Either the doctor has pushed too hard without the right sensitivity, or more likely, there is something wrong. And the doctor will say, we would better do some more tests. It's not supposed to hurt there. So it is when pastors preach on stewardship, especially on financial responsibility of the members. And certain members cried out in discomfort, criticizing the message, the pastor, and the stewardship effort. Either the pastor has pushed too hard, or perhaps there is something wrong. In that case, I say, my friends, we are in need of the great physician because it's not supposed to hurt there. That is right. Talking about money, stewardship, or generosity should not make you uncomfortable or even get hurt. I know it's a sensitive issue, but it is indeed a spiritual matter, and our church needs to hear constantly. Do you know our congregation is a generous congregation? Our congregation is a caring and giving congregation. Our congregation is a loving congregation. Yes, we are blessed by God in many ways, wonderful ways. One of the main reasons why our congregation can be so generous is that you discover joy in giving rather than experience discomfort or burden. Throughout the Hebrew Bible, also known as the Old Testament, God's message is clear. I might be oversimplifying, but here are the highlights. God loves you and gives you everything in life. And God wants you to love Him too. God wants your praise and worship through your faithful living and generous giving. You are expected to give God first your offering of the fruit, the best fruit, and the tithe, 10% of your income, right? Now, that was Old Testament teaching, right? Now, some Christians might say, well, the Old Testament time is past. I'm going to follow what Jesus says and the New Testament teaching. Well, then, you read the entire New Testament, including the Gospels, and your conclusion on giving, you will end up realizing that as a cheerful giver, you ought to give way more than 10%. Even God wants you yourself. God expects your whole life as a living sacrifice. Following Jesus requires you to commit your life to Him in everything. You know, God, the creator of the universe, God, the sustainer of your life, is not asking, begging your offering, tithes, or contributions because God is poor or needy. No, stewardship discipline is actually for you because God loves you. God cares for you more than anything else. You are precious and beloved child of God, no matter what. So naturally and joyfully, not reluctantly, your giving, your offering can be a response to God's love and can be a tangible expression of your love for God and for your neighbors, through our church especially. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, preached these three simple rules on stewardship. Number one, earn all you can. Got to work hard, diligently, right? Yeah, earn all you can. Number two, save all you can. Number three, give all you can. Yes, many of you already remember these. Yeah, John Wesley's sayings. These proclamations are a straightforward invitation to you to become a faithful steward in your living and in your giving. During this month, Stewardship Month, we have been having a short-term Bible study series on stewardship. Our textbook is entitled Shiny Gods, written by Mike Slaughter. In the chapter 4, the author writes this, quote, "Why do we exist as a church? For one reason, the church is not a community designed just for us to make ourselves better. The Holy Spirit will make us better as we submit to the Lordship of Jesus. We exist to be the hands and feet of Jesus in order to accomplish God's purpose on earth. Our fiscal responsibility is truly the act of worship that God desires." Unquote. Good point. Well said. Then the author suggests the 10-10-80 plan as a practical practice for our stewardship. The first 10% of everything that comes into your hand, you give to God as an expression of faith and gratitude. The second 10% you pay to yourself in the form of saving for the future. If you think 10% saving is not enough, you can do more, of course. The remaining 80% or so is what you live on. The 80% should cover everything in your faithful living. I know some of you might be struggling with some excessive debt. Some of you are still looking for a job. We have been enough financial troubles and challenges in our lives. However, in fact, many of you desire to set your life back in order, especially in your financial management and your priority setting. I guarantee that if you put God first in your life, God will strengthen you, guide you, and lead you to a transformed life. Your transformed life includes the change of your perspectives, maybe lifestyle too, on life, on faith, and on sharing. As your pastor, I always emphasize that our stewardship campaign is not just to raise money for the next year's church budget operating cost, but to invite you to examine your personal finance so that you can set your life in order and discover joy in your living and in your giving. This morning's gospel lesson is about do not worry. We always worry about everything in life. But Jesus invites us to a journey of hope by putting God first in everything. Jesus proclaims in Matthew 6:33, in King James Version, let's read all together. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. Everyone knows this verse from Jesus, but not everyone is following through with this Jesus word. This morning, I invite you, all the members and friends of First United Methodist Church of Riverside, to a journey of hope by realizing that you are already hands and feet of Jesus, and by joyfully participating in our stewardship effort. This is not a one-time thing. This is beyond our annual campaign. Your stewardship should be practiced throughout your lifetime. I have been informed that some of you have already turned in your commitment cards. Thank you, my friends in Christ. But if you have not done so yet, please come to the church site today. A very cool day and nice day, and There is no excuse for you to say, oh, too hot. No, no. Maybe too cold. No, it's not too cold. It's very, very refreshing and cool day. And this afternoon from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., right after this service, and please come and drop off your cars in a drive-through event. And remember to wear your mask. And John and Katrina Zip, our co-chairs of stewardship, will be glad to collect your cards. And we will have some extra cards ready. Excuse me. Ready for you, okay? So, and our co-lay leaders, Loretta Cudney and Mimi Luker, will give you a set of masks for you and in your family as a gift. And I will be there in person to greet you as well. I miss you, you know, so much. And so I hope to see you, some of you, there in our church site right here. And so thanks be to God. Amen.